guys. Welcome to another edition of the Latin Babbler Show. I am your host, the Latin Babbler, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, Tigra Sound Off.
How are you guys doing today? We're going to be doing a ride in Bolivia.
Right. Now we have Miss Rocky and her Bojica have well-deserved timed off. But with us tonight is our producer, Brianna.
Hey, everyone. Okay, I'm just going to say it. Being Bolivian, I am so excited to learn about this beautiful country. Let's do this.
All right. And joining us all the way from Santa Cruz, Bolivia, a lifestyle, food, culture, fashion blogger, Sasha Vasquez. Welcome to the show.
Woo! Hi. Thank you for
Welcome.
Having me.
Bienvenida.
Gracias.
So, guys, welcome to our, it's our third stop now on the Latin Babbler World Tour. Today, we showcase the amazing country of Bolivia, and we are going to give you, again, some fun facts. We're going to talk some food. We got some great locations that we're going to be visiting, and the entire show is dedicated to showcasing this beautiful country and its rich history. So, Sasha.
Hey.
What does it take to blog about Bolivia all the time? Like, you literally live it, you inspire it, you're full of patriotism for it. Tell us about the country that you love so much.
I think I fell in love with Bolivia the second I left. I left for like a year, and I was so eager to leave, and I was so eager to explore outside of the country. And I think going out just made me realize how much I love my country and how much I love my roots and whatever is Bolivian made, the landscapes. And just, I think it's this amazing jewel in the middle of South America.
Where did you go, by the way?
When I left?
Yeah, yes. When you left for the year. What made you go, I need to go back home?
To the States.
Oh, God. So the first time that you left, you decided to go to the United States of America? Yeah, that would get you right back home.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
No, I loved it. I loved it, too. But I got very homesick, to be honest. I never thought I would. But when I was away from home, I started missing it so much.
That's how it works out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no kidding, man, because, like, look, there's a lot of people who come from the Dominican Republic, and they come to the United States, and they have a great time, but then they miss home, man. Like, it's just different. Like, yes. You know, our motherlands are all home, and it's just a good feeling to be back and be able to share the culture again with the people that we just love so dear. So, kind of interesting. So, as a blogger, I mean, what is it that you're impassioned about? Why did you become a blogger?
I started off blogging about fashion. I think I just wanted to stay in fashion, actually, but as the blog grew, so did the community around it, and the community started to get more interested about my lifestyle and just like the usual, like, typical day-to-day things that I did, and that included traveling and eating and showcasing whatever is made here. I started learning more about Bolivian fashion designers first, and then just like expanded into learning more about Bolivia itself.
That's pretty cool, because I've seen some of your videos and they're really interesting, for real. They're fun.
Yeah, thanks.
Especially when you were paddleboarding in that place that looked like Café con Leche. I was like, how is she paddleboarding on that?
I know. We actually built that boat right before paddleboarding.
That's crazy. Like, you can't even see under. You don't know what's going to come at you with that café con leche, you know?
Is it pan
de mantequilla that's coming out?
No, I know. That was the part that freaked me out the most. Not being able to see anything. God. It was like, something's going to pull my feet right now. Like, right now. So I know it.
Whose idea was it to build the boat? Like, whose idea was it to actually do that?
It's part of the tour we took. We stayed at this amazing eco-lodge. It's called Mashaquipe. And what they try to do is, like, it's like a ecological kind of tourism. They teach you things that indigenous people from Rurrenabaque and, like, all the Beni region do. So we paddleboarded and we made our own boats just like they used to do. We even ate, like, these larvae from trees.
Oh my goodness.
It was crazy. Goodness. It was crazy, but it was like a full-on experience, like 360 degrees experience. Just like,
it was like Survivor with excursions included. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
So where were you though? Like where, because this trip was like quite an adventure. I saw it on your IG, on your stories and some of your posts. So where did you guys go?
So we went to Mariri National Park that's located on the northern part of La Paz. And it's like right on the border between La Paz and Beni, which is kind of crazy because when you talk about La Paz, the first thing that comes to your mind is La Paz City, which is like a city, you know, like concrete jungle kind of thing. Yes, it's surrounded by mountains, but it, like you think about cold weather and like dry altiplano. But actually, when you start going up north, you get into like a more tropical kind of region, which is kind of different from the Santa Cruz Tropic. And then La Paz meets up with Beni Department, which is like one of the biggest departments and greenest departments. So like right in between both departments lies Mariri National Park, which is this like huge Amazon rainforest.
Yeah, like Beni is like an Amazon kind of thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so whoever's listening to the episode, listen closely because during our IG Live, we might have some amazing giveaways, but you got to know the facts. You got to know the facts. And speaking about facts, let's get right into it. And Sasha's going to help us because Sasha is like all Bolivia and we're not. So here we go. So some fun facts about Bolivia. All right, the official name of Bolivia is the Plurinacional State of Bolivia. Now, Sasha, you said they changed it, right?
Yes.
So what was it before?
It was República de Bolivia, and now is Estado Plurinacional de Bolivia, which is Plurinational State of Bolivia. Our ex-president, Evo Morales, changed that. And it was due to, like, in representation of the many nations that live in Bolivia.
Oh, cool. So it was kind of like a unification message?
Yeah, kind
of. Oh, okay. So kind of like United States of America, kind of putting all those different areas into one.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay, very cool. All right, so the capitals are La Paz and Sucre.
Yes.
The population is about 11.51 million. That is a lot of people.
Yes, it
is. Wow.
It is.
And then Digga and I were talking about this often. So she was telling us, you know, Bolivia is one of the wettest countries on the planet and home of like two of the highest cities in the world. Is that true? Like, you guys get a lot of rain?
In some parts of Bolivia. I can assure you that Madrid for sure gets a lot of rain.
It looked like it.
I
still don't know how you dealt with that water.
And it's not even rainy season there anymore.
Oof.
I don't even know how they manage to drive around during rainy season.
But I still think of café con leche. Like, seriously, like light café con leche. Seriously.
You know what?
Café con leche grows even bigger during
rainy season. Look at that. Imagínate. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You're going to get pan dulce.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. So Potosí is known for the silver mines and economic importance, and it sits at like 13,420 feet, while El Alto claims the prize for the highest administrative city in the world, altitude at 13,615 feet. So there's some facts. Remember that one.
Yeah. That's high up there.
That's pretty high.
You get nosebleed?
Yeah, you get Sorochi, which is like altitude sickness.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Almost
like if you were climbing Mount Everest type stuff.
Insane. For sure. Like you get short of breath and headaches.
Who lives there? Crazy. Like how do you guys, that's insane.
You have to grow accustomed to it. Like it takes a few days to acclimatize your body to it. Even La Paz, which is not as high as El Alto or Potosí. If you go, like I used to live in La Paz and now that I live in Santa Cruz and I go and visit, it's still like, walking around in La Paz, it just like you have the shortness of breath and it's harder.
Oh man, that's crazy.
Well, you're gonna see me walking around with an oxygen tank with my ass. Yeah. I won't be able to walk through that.
Walking like those people from the infirmary.
Yeah, you see me with my little thing in my nose, like with the oxygen thing. Okay, let's go. Vamono.
I was literally thinking about how I already have bronchitis and need my inhaler and like all those things. I'm like, but I wanna visit Bolivia. What is
you
this?
You would die there. You would literally
die
there.
You can. You just have to take it slow the first few days.
My goodness.
You would have to wear the mask.
I'm like, y'all just threw like a shield at me, basically saying, Brie, you're not invited because you have asthma.
No, not at all. There's asthmatic people in La Paz too, and they're doing fine.
Okay.
She has to wear the mask from Bane, like from Batman.
We'll go together, Brianna. Don't worry. We'll hold hands.
I'm going to be there like, how is everyone doing today?
All right, so here we go. Lake Titicaca, who's located on the western part of Bolivia and on the southeastern part of Peru, actually. So it's kind of like two homes in one. And it sits at like 12,383 feet above sea level and is the largest freshwater lake in South America. So do they go, is that like a fishing place or do people go swimming? What kind of lake do they have there?
No, you don't swim. You fish. Yeah, you fish, but mainly as a tourist site. There's like pretty islands there. It's a very mystical place as well. So people go there on retreats just to get away from the city.
That's nice.
Oh, okay. That sounds really cool. All right. So as we know, the official language is Spanish, but we talked about it in our Afro-Latinx episode. This is one of the countries that's known for having like a lot of additional languages, and they have 37 additional languages. For you got, what is it? Quechua?
Quechua.
Is that my name? Quechua?
Quechua.
You got Aymara?
Yeah.
And Guarani.
Guarani.
I hope I'm saying that right. Guarani. Yeah. Okay, so yes. The emphasis is I at the end. There we go. Okay, so if you go into the Andes region, you'll find that Spanish and Quechua, I keep saying it wrong, are the main languages spoken, whereas in Altiplano around the Lake Titicaca, Aymara is more commonly spoken language. Is that correct?
That's correct. And then Guarani is more, it's from the Santa Cruz Beni kind region.
Do you speak any of those languages? Give us a little like preview.
Yeah, that's
actually
that's what I want to know.
Now that I just went to Madidi, the one of the biggest indigenous people, or what would you say, like towns or
region? We'll go with region. Yeah,
is called the Tacana, and they told me that Sasha actually in Tacana means flower. So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh,
very cool. Look at that.
That sounds
so
cool.
We have a flower on the show.
Flor. Some of the tour guides would call me Flor. I was like, that's weird. But
No, it's not. The tour guides are trying to hit on you. That's why they're calling me Flor.
And get her under.
Sasha, you only speak Spanish and English then, right? Like you don't speak Quechua or Aymara or Guarani?
No, like I could say a few words, but not even close to fluently speaking any of those languages. Now it's like part of the school system to learn indigenous languages, but it just started not too long ago. So like even if you start learning from a young age, you still come out of school with just a few words or phrases.
Cool.
Okay. So I mean, like, I guess the younger generation is benefiting from that though. Ones who are coming in. So that's kind of cool. Going back to the roots, they're trying to turn around and teach the indigenous side of the culture. So that's actually great because we've been talking about that, about trying to reconnect back to our indigenous side. So that's amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
So I'm going to see so the currency is what? The Bolivian Boliviano or is it just a Boliviano?
It's just the Boliviano.
Okay. And so do you know what the exchange is like from you having gone back and forth from the United States to...
One American dollar equals 6.9 Bolivianos.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question from a tourist perspective, because I know that Dominican Republic, they got smart. So it used to be like $1 for like 56 pesos. And then what happens is that Dominican Republic just basically started charging in pesos what it would cost for you to spend the actual amount in dollars. So do you benefit a lot from taking dollars to Bolivia? Like, do you get more out of your money? Or did Bolivia get smart and just priced everything in a way where you're basically spending what you're spending with the dollar?
I don't know. I think we're halfway there. I would say we're halfway. Like, we're trying to just, like, stay with the Bolivianos, but still, I think the dollar still has some weight.
Okay, so if I went over there, I would be probably carrying a lot less money than I need for what I would have to, because I'm trying to see from when people visit, you know, how much money they would actually need if they need to carry their weight in dollars for what the Boliviano is, or if they're going to benefit from coming in with a certain amount of dollars by being able to experience the culture for what is a lot less. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I mean, you would benefit coming with dollars, and then the exchange rate is not bad, so.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, so we can't talk about Bolivia without its cute llamas and alpacas.
And right.
Equally famous are the alpaca wool jumpers, and I want one, so you're going to have to send me one.
Those
are just amazing.
Yeah, I actually have a couple because my grandma, who's Bolivian, she would always give them to us. And they are so warm.
They are. They're great for winter.
Oh. Yeah.
Right, well, I don't have one, so you're going to have to send me one. Because her grandma didn't give me one. So, all right. Nobody's shit. The indigenous culture is alive and well in Bolivia. The country has a vast majority, we're just talking about that, inhabitants of native descent. Even today, the traditional bowler hats and the puffy dresses and indigenous Cholita women can be admired at turn. Now, you're wearing one of these outfits on your blog, right?
Was I?
I think you have one of those Bolivian outfits, or am I looking at
like,
this
not
outfit?
Not the traditional. Well, like, maybe we get like maybe parts, maybe like the hat or like the shawls, but not the whole outfit.
The whole outfit? Okay, so the one where you're in Oruro, that's the...
Okay, that one. Yeah, no, that one is a Diablada costume.
Oh, okay.
Which is from Carnaval. Yeah, it has nothing to do with the traditional clothing.
Oh, okay.
So that's very similar.
It's just for the party. It's just for the dance. Yeah, just for Carnaval. Okay.
So that's actually the ones that my mom, she's Bolivian, that she was wearing the traditional costumes or the traditional dresses. But it turns out that it actually was just for the carnival because she also did like the dances and they celebrated with the food. Oh, I didn't know they were two different types. That's interesting.
So
yeah. Because this one that you're talking about is a Cholita costume. I wouldn't even say costume because it's not a costume. It's what they wear.
It's what they wear.
Yeah. That's why I changed it because at first I thought, for the festival, would you consider that a costume? And then for the Cholita?
There is a dance where Cholitas dance specifically. So they do dress up with their traditional clothes, but it's not considered a costume.
Gotcha.
Like the one that I was wearing on my pictures.
Okay. And yours is actually, it's funny that we have the same type of carnaval because we have one too where everybody dresses up like diablos and stuff like that. So
yeah. Kind of interesting. Cajuelos.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool.
There's like traditional dances from every region in Bolivia, and they all have their own music and their own costumes and their own dances. And they are very, very different from one another. Because when you talk about Bolivia, you can see that there's like the difference between regions is so vast. You have like the cold altiplano, and then you have the tropics. So, like, the dances that come from the altiplano part or like the western part of Bolivia, they have like the Cholitas or the Diablada, which is like, I don't know, like more heavy costumes. Mm-hmm. And then like the dances from the eastern part, which is like the tropic part, they have like the like feathers and less clothes because they're more like jungle-ish.
Okay. And lastly, I have a question. Because you guys have something that's very interesting. So Bolivia has pink dolphins. Anya Geofrensis dolphins that are considered to be the most intelligent of the world.
Yes, we do.
They have 5 freshwater species with a brain capacity of like 40% larger than that of humans.
So
these animals are smarter than us.
They are.
But that's not the part that's interesting to me. The part that's interesting to me is that according to one ancient like Amazonian legend, these dolphins supposedly come at nightfall, and the dolphins emerge from the water as handsome young men, and they seduce the young women. When the sun rises, they resume their original shape, or when it, you know, and they return to the river. Give me your thoughts on that, because that sounds really freaky.
That's crazy.
Okay, so I went to Madidi just like wanting to experience that, and I wasn't seduced by anyone, I have to say. Not even the dolphins.
No, I was going to tell you. I was about to book a flight over there. Like, okay, this one would have found my man.
I was like, come on, man. Not even the dolphins.
She was going there just for the dolphins, man.
Yeah.
I was going to go over there, too. I was about to book my flight tomorrow. Like, okay, that's what I'm going
to
do. It's like,
even if you have to go back to the water, come on.
I'll go over there next time and I'll use Tigre as bait just to see if it'll happen.
Yeah, para ver si encuentro mi hombre en Bolivia.
Yeah, but hold on. Right? Let's get this straight. It does say that it seduces young women, so Tigre, you don't have a chance.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Sure.
That's not fair.
Anyway.
One quick question, Sasha. Are the dolphins hot?
Oh, my God.
Depends on, I mean,
Maite, do you like them bald? Bald and squeaky?
I like
and
bald,
spotted.
Man.
They got spots. They got spots all over, man. So you know, they're in, they might be pink, but they got spots all over.
At my age, I can't be too picky, okay?
Anyways, right. I'm going to book my flight because I want to be seduced by a dolphin.
That's me too.
Honest. Tomorrow. Okay.
All right, so moving on. So Bree, why don't you go ahead and give us the flag of Bolivia?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the flag of Bolivia is the national flag of the plurinational state of Bolivia. All right, so the current flag of Bolivia was promulgated by the decree of President Manuel Belzu. Now, Sasha, do you know anything about him? Because I know he's from like the late 1850s, but was curious if you knew a little bit about him too.
Not more than what you were talking about, just the flag part, but that's it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what we do know is that it consists of three colors, right? It consists of red, yellow, and green. All right. So red, it stands for Bolivia's brave soldiers, yellow for the nation's mineral deposits, and green, my favorite color, symbolizes fertility. And now that little symbol that you see, the coat of arms, it features the iconic condor, the alpaca, and the Cerro Rico mine, which was decreed in July 14th, 1888.
Nice.
So there you have it, the Bolivian flag.
No. It's a purdy flag. It's a purdy flag.
It is a purdy flag.
All right, let's start getting into some of these things that we want to learn about Bolivia from some of even the modern side. So Celebrity Showcase with La Tigra, go for it.
So tonight I have a few people that I want to discuss from Bolivia. I have number one, Mr. Pato Hoffman, nacido en La Paz, Bolivia. He's an actor, a theater director, known for some films such as Geronimo, an American Legend, and Lakota Woman as Siege Wounded. In 1999, he was named Indian Celebrity of the Year. The second one I have, I've noticed a lot of, in Latin America, we have a lot of beautiful women. I have here Jessica Jordan. She's British Bolivian, model and politician. In 2003, she was Miss Mundo Latina in Miami, okay? In 2005, Miss Bolivia. In 2006, Miss Bolivia Universe. So we had Miss Universe in 2006. She ran for governor of Beni. As we talked earlier, Beni is a remote, nearly uninhabited and almost roadless department in the Bolivian Amazon, located between the Andes Mountain, like Sasha said, and the River of Guapore. Unfortunately, lost both elections, but she's still very much involved in her community and big influence on young women in Bolivia. We have now Maria Fernanda Alvarez Terán. She's a tennis player from Bolivia. She has won Copa Gatorade, Copa Milo in singles, and Mediterranean Avenir in doubles. And I left the best for last. As you guys know, Raquel Welch, she's a very big known actress in the Hollywood.
Right?
She goes way back. And her real name is Jo Raquel Tejada, actress and singer. Both parents are born in La Paz, Bolivia. She's a sex symbol. She was a Naked Gun, 33 and a half, Legally Blonde, worked with Elizabeth Taylor and Sophia Loren. And she was Playboy ranked her number 3 sexiest stars of the 20th century.
Yes!
So Raquel Crazy. Welch is a Bolivian sex symbol. So don't you guys forget that. Okay? And that's all for celebrity news,
well,
baby.
Now that's all I can remember. So I'm not going to remember anything except for that moment. So for those of you guys who want to do this quiz, remember that fact. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I know another celebrity. Her name is Sasha Vasquez. I don't know
of
if you guys
course.
Know her. Yeah, she's a blogger in Bolivia. She like shares so much about it. Like
she has cool hair. She has like this two-tone color, like the white in the bottom. I saw that. That was pretty cool.
I know.
But you guys forgot the most important part. She's the only person I know who rides Café con Leche.
Exactly. And makes her own boat.
Yeah, and makes her own boat.
And hung out with Benny.
That's right.
All right, and Bree, you got something Latino this week.
Yeah, you know, we were just talking about some pretty amazing women. I want to add to that list. I want to add Bartolina Sisa. Now, for those of you who don't know, she was born between 1750 and 1753, La Paz, Bolivia. Now, Bartolina Sisa, she was one of the fiercest leaders of her time, and she remains highly exalted till this day. And so growing up, she saw men work till their death in the mines, and she saw women who were legally sexually assaulted by their landowners, priests, and soldiers. I mean, how horrible is that?
Yeah, that's bad.
I know. That's really bad. Yeah. So on her travels, when she met her future husband, Juliana Paza, more famously known as Tupac Katari. I laughed because I kept saying,
oh my God, Tupac. What?
Right? I was right? like, whoa. Her husband was Tupac.
We had Tupac before it was cool.
Right?
Oh, snap.
No, you had Tupac when it was cool. This man fought like crazy.
I know.
Right?
But you know what's even cooler is that together with her husband, so them together as a team, they led an indigenous uprising against the Spanish in Bolivia and at the head of their army of a sum of 80,000, which laid siege to the city of La Paz in 1781. So Tupac and Sisa. I know, I'm just going to like keep saying Tupac instead. Katari and Sisa. Their army maintained the siege for 184 days from March to June and from August to October. So that's pretty crazy. And then Sisa, yeah. She was also the commander of the siege. But sadly, and honestly, this is the part that breaks my heart. She was betrayed by her close companions and captured by the Spaniards. And after several defeats and his overall despair of losing his wife, Katari was also seized. So after witnessing her husband's death, Sisa was executed in 1782. And on September 5th, 1983, during the Encuentros of Movement Organizations of the Americas, the International Indigenous Women's Day was founded in honor of Sisa's legacy. So I just wanted to give her a major shout out and to remember her. To just
strong
remind,
women.
Yeah, strong women. To just remind strong women out there, continue to be brave, continue to make history and be change because, you know, just like Bartolina Sisa, you can definitely do it.
Of and course. Congrats. Wow.
Look, I'm not at liberty to discuss how she died, but look it up because if you want to know about somebody who gave her life, you might want to see about what she had to do even till death.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the stuff that she endured, you know, for that freedom that she wanted is absolutely amazing. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about some holidays and festivals. And I'm going to start it off because we were sitting there talking about it. El Carnaval de Oruro. So the Carnaval de Oruro is celebrated the week before Ash Wednesday. And in just a few days time, the town sees more than 400,000 visitors. 400,000. That's a lot of visitors. People come from all over to witness the marching bands, traditional folk dances, and the parades that are like so elaborate it lasts for dozens of hours. Now, we were talking about earlier on that outfit that you were wearing. Is this what you were wearing that for?
Right. Yes. I was wearing an outfit from the Diablada dance specifically, which is a typical dance from Oruro for
awesome.
The carnival.
All right. So that makes sense. All right. So then we go to San Juan. And that's on June 24th. San Juan de Bautista celebrated with like large bonfires as people drink and jump all over the fire. This is done like during the coldest night of the year to keep los espíritus malos away. So I guess because you do it in the cold, you know, ghosts ain't going to come. I mean, they have a similar thing going on right now in South Beach. So
it's called,
I don't know.
It's called Diablo Cajuelos in Miami Beach.
It's insane. Now, Mady, you got the next one.
And I have Equinox of Winter. Is this Asian celebration marks the first rays of the sun during the winter solstice each year. Indigenous leaders from Aymara population come together in Tihuanaco, La Paz, to pay homage to the new year. Pagan rituals celebrate the power of fertility and good luck to the god Intai. Crops are offered as gifts and deity for the coming harvest. That's pretty cool. I'm going to try that here in winter.
All right. So those are some of the most famous ones. Sasha, which is your favorite holiday?
I would have to say definitely Carnaval.
Carnaval? That would have been mine.
Yes.
I wouldn't have fit in one of those costumes, but, you know, I would definitely try. I would definitely try.
Oh, I think you would. I think you would. There's costumes for everyone.
There's costumes for everyone. They got to put tents together to put me together on one of those. So, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I think mine will be Equinox of Winter. I think it's really cute. Like, you know.
You think so?
Yeah, it's for good luck and, you know, bring, you know, some serenity. It's the first sun of the winter. It's just very soothing and very relaxing.
Okay, well, I'm going to be the one who wants to jump on the fire. That sounds cool.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'll drink and jump on fire since the other two are taken.
That is insane. Yeah, I'm not jumping in any fires, but I'll wear that costume and see if I light up. We'll turn on go with that. All right. So, guys, look, pay attention. Once again, for that Babbler community, we're going to be posting up some of these prizes. We did it for Mexico. We're giving away a Latin Babbler exclusive limited edition hat. So make sure that you know all of these facts that we're putting it out. And now we're going to go into something special because it represents the country well. So Bree, you got the historic artist spotlight for tonight.
Yeah, how lucky am I? I just get to say amazing strong women from Bolivia. We have Sasha Vasquez, who's also an amazing strong woman from Bolivia.
She is.
So I'm really excited now to introduce our historic artist spotlight, Luzmila Carpio. So she is a singer who has performed in Spanish and Quechua and has been Bolivia's ambassador to France from, I believe, 2006, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So growing up in northern Potosi region, she learned the language and songs of the native Quechua people and began to develop her unique voice at a young age. The term Quechua refers to the cultural traditions and varying dialects of a number of different indigenous people in the Andean regions of Bolivia, Colombia, Chile, Ecuador, Peru, and Argentina. Wow, that's a lot of countries. Okay.
Yes, it is.
But during Carpio's formative years, Spanish was Bolivia's only officially recognized language. And at age 11, she was forbidden to perform it in her native language on a local radio station. But she said, I want to embrace this. I want to sing this. So her music is characterized by the Quechua's deep relationship with the earth and nature. And I am so excited to introduce Luzmila Carpio's song, Yanapari Waiku.
Justicia y exijamos.
Man, that was absolutely amazing.
I love it. Yeah. It's so different. Oh my God.
I know. Different from anything that we've played here on the Latin Babbler show. That was really, yeah, that was special.
Yeah, you can't go any more indigenous than that. That's for sure. I mean, she really took the culture of the people and kind of ran with it, especially in her music.
That's
kind of amazing. All right, so let me ask you, Sasha, because you're the one that recommended this special artist. So you guys have a young artist called Vero Perez.
Yes.
And she's located in La Paz. Can you tell us a little bit about her?
Well, she's actually a friend of mine.
Oh, look at that. No wonder she recommended her.
Small world, isn't it?
But no, I didn't recommend her because she's my friend. I recommended her because I've seen her growth. And I know that she's been studying music since she was like 6 years old. And she used to play with a band called Efecto Mandarina. And now she just recently released her album as a single singer. So
is that the one that's Cadáver Exquisito?
Exquisito, yes. Cadáver Exquisito, which would be exquisite. How do you say cadáver?
Cadáver would be like...
Yeah, cadáver.
Oh, cadáver.
Same, right? Yeah.
So it would be like exquisite cadáver. That's an interesting name for...
Skeletor.
So that's really cool. All right, so from what we know, she captivated audiences with her deep, emotional-laden voice. And so here is Vero Perez's brand new hit, Cadáver Exquisito. I'm butchering that. Is that right? Cadáver Exquisito.
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 Exquisito. Tan largo un adiós sin sol. So that's amazing too. Well, she's got a very smooth voice, man. That thing will turn around and put you like, you know, mellow out. Get some cafe con leche again.
Yeah.
Get some cafe con leche with some crackers. So, all right. So her music can be found on YouTube, SoundCloud, and more. And you can also follow her on her Instagram at OSSFIR. All right. So let's move on to dishes. Food, food, food. And you know,
my
it's
favorite.
Great. I know. Oh, my goodness. You know, sometimes we can't get through these because we turn around and we talk so much about them. So let's get through them. We got about 16 dishes, I believe, that we're about to go through. So let's see if we can get through. All right. So the first one, and Sasha is going to turn around and let us know a lot about these because some of these have some interesting facts. Anticuchos. The anticucho is one of the typical dishes to eat in Bolivia. And no matter what, the dish is kind of like a meat brochet with potatoes. And it's cooked on the grill and served with spicy peanut sauce. It's very tasty and very cheap, which is customary to eat with your hands. But you have something very interesting to add, Sasha. What is that?
Yes, that it's not actual just, it's not beef meat. It's actually cow's heart.
It's delicious.
Ooh. It's so good.
It sounds
I know,
good.
Like, I probably, like, if you hear this, the first thing you're going to think is, ew, gross, but it's so good.
El corazón, hey. Corazón, qué rico. Mm.
You're eating the heart of a cow. Yum, yum. Just remember that. So good.
It tastes good. Trust me, I've had it.
It doesn't sound good, but it probably tastes delicious.
It tastes just like regular meat, but it's cow heart. Delicious.
So most of the meals are probably cooked with, you said it's cooked with ají amarillo and, like, yellow chili, like, most of the Bolivian dishes you were mentioning?
Ají amarillo and ají rojo, which would be yellow and red chili.
Oh, okay. So that probably adds to like a spicy flavor? A little hot?
They're not actually spicy. It's just like very flavorful.
Ooh, adds the impact.
Yeah, man.
All right, yes, here we go.
Exactly.
So to the next one, sil pancho. And this dish is made with like meat pastry, served with fried eggs, potatoes, white rice, and carrot. And beetroot salad. And it's one of the best dishes to eat in Bolivia to like regain strength. I think they used to give it to the soldiers back then.
Wow, that looks good without the egg. Yeah.
Nah, she can't eat eggs. So that's why she's saying that.
Yeah, I'm allergic
I mean, it
to
looks
eggs.
Small on the picture, but if, like when you see it live, some people call these elephant ears because they're so big.
They're
yeah,
so
it looks big.
Big
in the plate.
Yeah.
Right.
He got big old meat ears.
Love
That's
it.
Crazy. All right, yuca sonso. And this is undoubtedly one of the simplest but most peculiar dishes of Bolivia. So to make yuca sonso, a cassava puré is mixed with cheese. And the particularity of the dish is that it's prepared on the grill, which gives it like an exquisite smoky flavor. So yuca sonso, is that something that you like to eat?
Yes. If you're a fan of cheese, then this is for you.
Oh.
Definitely.
Oh, I'd probably eat them all. Nobody would survive. All right, humintas. And these are like tamales, typical of like Bolivian food in this case. Like Bolivian humintas are sweet and they're usually served for like breakfast or you can eat them as a snack. And they're made by mixing grated sweet corn and cinnamon, sugar, raisins, and sometimes cheese. And then all this stuffing is wrapped into corn leaves, which make a tamale, to be steamed and then, you know, or grilled. So that right there would drive me nuts. I don't know. Oh,
yummy with some chicken in it. Yummy.
I don't know how I feel about the raisins, though. Raisins?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, they put raisins in a lot of tamales.
But I think the raisins is like a sweet taste. I think the raisins add like a sweet taste.
Yeah,
so that's why I love it.
They use them in pasteles, too. Mm-hmm.
This one's actually pretty popular from what I understand. The chola sandwich, right? Mm-hmm. That's in La Paz?
Yes.
And this is like, it's a traditional pork sandwich. So inside you got like round bread, and a good piece of crunchy pork leg is placed. And it's accompanied by chili, onion, and tomato slices. At least that's what I'm being told. A snack
that, delicious,
that you
yummy.
Should try if you're definitely going to Bolivia. So is that, I saw you eating one of these, didn't I? And on your blog?
That was a different one, which we don't have on the list, but it's called the trancapecho, which is a silpancho, which we saw earlier, but inside of a bread.
Oh!
Yeah,
oh,
which is amazing, too.
Trancapecho. Wow.
Right.
Trancapecho, that is stop the heart?
That's
like,
not
wow.
good for
exactly.
an aesthetic, yo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's literally a heart disease of a sandwich.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Again, I'm sensing a shield for me and Bolivia here.
Hey, cuñape. Cuñape is a bread made of cheese, again cheese, which is made in Santa Cruz. And its peculiarity is that it's made out of cassava flour and baked cheese. It's delicious. So if you want to try it, all you have to do is, you know, you're probably not going to eat more than one. Because are they small or big?
Yeah, definitely impossible to eat only one.
Okay. Yeah, I think I said that backwards, but I meant to say almost impossible to eat just one. I think I would probably eat like seven of these. So, and then I'd have a rompepietro, whatever.
Rompepietro, dolor de la barriga, de todo.
Diarrhea. All right. Pique macho. For lovers of meat, the male pique is one of the dishes in Bolivia since it consists of like minced meat, chorizo, fried potatoes, and tomatoes. So locotos are added to the dish and a kind of hot peppers, which give a special touch.
Nice.
Is that the way you've eaten it?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And this is a dish that is typical from Cochabamba. And everyone here in Bolivia knows that the people from Cochabamba like to eat a lot. So it's a very, very big dish.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very awesome. Very awesome. This is my favorite, salteñas. Salteñas are just delicious. There should be a crime against salteñas. Salteñas should not be a food that's allowed anywhere. It is just...
Agreed.
Like, you're going to eat like at least 10 of these. So obviously they're kind of like a sandwich, but it's not. It's like I consider it almost like a, what do they call it? A pastel? Because I mean, this dish is prepared with like chicken, beef, potatoes, peas, olives, onions, and it has like a very rich taste to it. So it's like a snack, according to what they think. For me, it's almost like a meal because they're so heavy
and thick.
No,
like a meal, like un saltado. So, yeah.
Salteñas are usually baked and there's just a lot of stuffing to it. Is that one of your favorites?
It's definitely one of my favorites. You can't come here and not have one.
Okay, is it like a sweet taste over there? Because I know here, I've tasted them here in America, and some of them have like a sweet taste and some of them have like a very...
Yeah, they're like savory, kind of sweet-ish.
Okay, so that makes sense. So it has the same feel here. I had them while I was in New York and New Jersey. So, all right. So, and my daughter makes them, and she does really well. All right, so masacos are next, and they're like a typical like eastern part of the country, and the dish is again made with cassava or ground green bananas, which are plantains, I think. And they're made with pork chicharrón, right?
Yes.
Yummy.
Oh, that yummy in my
tummy. There's this continuous fight between which one is better, if the cassava one or the plantain one. But I like both of them, actually.
Hey,
I mean, what should we choose?
Also, right? Like, you guys do it like a mofongo kind of style, right? Ground green beef.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like a mofongo.
I'll eat both.
All right, so majaditos, another typical dish. This part of the eastern part of Bolivia is the majadito, which consists of toasted rice with dried meat. And it's served with fried eggs, and it's accompanied by tomato and fried plantain salad again. So, I would die for this.
Why is so much eggs?
There's a lot of eggs. This one is so good.
I'll take the egg out. Yeah. I'll be good.
It sounds good.
Just take the egg out. Yeah.
But nothing beats this next one.
This is Bree, our producer's favorite, buñuelos. And the reason she likes them is because they have both like a sweet and savory flavor, and it's very doughy. Buñuelos can be eaten at any time. And Bolivians see them. They eat them on Christmas a lot. And they eat them with like syrup and hot chocolate. But... Sasha, you have a like specific. What do? They drizzle the honey, and the honey is made out of what?
Sugar cane.
Oh,
yummy!
Pure sugar cane.
It's like pancakes.
They don't have that processed sugar.
Pure perfection.
All right, mondongo, which is actually also a Dominican dish, ironically.
Yeah. So,
mondongo is a dish of sucre. The mondongo is made of chicharrón. It's got like crispy fried pork with a bit of skin. Accompanied by corn, potatoes, and red ají, which we talked about before. And it's best, like, eaten with a beer.
Nice.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact.
Nice.
Can you eat it with something else other than a beer? Or just the beer gives it, like, a distinctive...
I mean, you can, but why should you? Why would you?
That's what
she said, why would you? A beer is the way it goes. So, we got Bolivian chocolate. Now, you guys have your own chocolate, right?
Yeah.
So according to this, it says one of the most delicious brands of chocolate in the world, not like in South America, in the entire world. And it's sourced from like Beni, which we spoke about before, and Alto Beni, and that's like in the northeastern region of Bolivia. And Chocolates Para Ti offers like 20 flavors, including quinoa, which I don't know how you make a chocolate out of quinoa, amaranto, and peach, making it Bolivia's most delicious tourist attraction. So I'm going to have to bring some of those back.
I'm going to have to try that out.
But quinoa, Sasha?
You just put, they put just a little like popped quinoa, which is kind of sweet, inside the chocolate.
Okay. All right.
So it gives it, it gives it like a crunchier feel.
Okay. That makes sense.
It's like our American version, crunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now with quinoa. So. All right. Quinoa. All right. Sopa de maní, which is, you know, soup of, what is it? Nut?
Peanuts?
Peanut soup? Peanut the hearty soup. And flavorsome yet economical soup, which obviously I can understand that, comes from Cochabamba, Bolivia. And it's typically made with beef ribs or chicken. But you can add, actually, this is where vegetarians would really like. You can have it as a vegetarian soup. So you'll find sopa de maní at most almuerzos, which is like lunch menus, and home of Bolivian celebrating loved ones, like on birthdays and special holidays. So charque de lama, and that's ketchup for dried meat. What is it? Charque is a form of jerky?
I love jerky meat.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Ooh la la.
So this consists of dry, is it llama meat? That's crazy.
It's llama jerky.
Llama jerky.
What?
Oh my God. Llama
jerky.
My son would go nuts.
Es como comiendo chivo, mi gente.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
so
man.
It's served with sweet corn or stewed corn. You got hard boiled eggs
there,
and cheese, and it's sometimes served with yajua, which is like a hot sauce. Am I saying that right? Is it yajua?
No, it's actually Yahwa.
Yahwa. Okay, I know that. All right.
The way you said it sounded like Star Wars. Like, I want some Yajwa.
Yahwa.
Yeah, I was getting all like weird.
That
about
sounds
it. Like,
spicy. Yahwa.
Right?
My tongue
fell off. Yahwa.
Okay, so I'm going to probably butcher this one. Pakai?
No, you actually said it right.
Oh, yes. Okay. So pakai, which is Bolivia's most unusual fruits. Pakai is like actually some type of legume, which is, it can be found and growing like 8 meter tall trees. I'm not sure who's going up there to get those. But inside the fruit, it consists of like large black seeds. You don't eat those, obviously. But surrounded by this like this sweet white flesh and often likened like the taste of ice cream.
Interesting.
So that was... unbelievable.
Like eating an oyster from a tree.
Yeah, but tastes like
kinda
ice cream,
like
not
that.
Fish.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
It's actually even unusual for Bolivians.
Really?
You don't see it that often. Yeah.
Oh.
So to eat that, you need to have a few Bolivian beers.
Because you got to climb the tree.
I mean, you gotta... if you want to, why wouldn't you? But yeah.
So which is your favorite Bolivian dish?
Oh, I gotta go with the buñuelo. The buñuelo is always... Am I saying that right? Buñuelo? Buñuelo?
Yeah, no, you're saying it right.
I don't know, but the chola sandwich caught my attention too, yo.
All right, well, for those of you guys who are listening, make sure you choose your favorite Bolivian dish. We're gonna have a contest on that. So let us know on Instagram. You go to, you know, at Latin Babbler Show. On our Facebook group, you can just look up Latin Babbler Show, and we're gonna have contests there. All right, so let's try to see if we can go to these places that you would visit if you go to Bolivia. So the first place is Salar de Uyuni, right?
Uyuni. Sorry.
All right. And this is the world's largest salt flat on one of Bolivia's most popular tourist destinations. It contains over 64 million tons of salt, making it the largest deposit of salt on the planet. So you might want to turn around, you know, if you have something that's dry, like greased meat, just turn around and rub it on the salt there.
Wow.
So, fun fact, when it rains, a thin layer of water is formed on the salt flat, creating a reflective surface, thus making it the world's largest natural mirror. That's insane.
Wow.
All right, so here Sasha was at this one, Madidi National Park. So let's see, the best way to experience Madidi National Park is to go through one of the ecological and culture tours, which is what you did, right?
Exactly.
And that gives you kind of like an authentic, like, jungle experience. So that's amazing.
My goodness.
So did you see any wild animals there? Like animals that you didn't think you would see, you know, back in your hometown?
I did. I did see many wild animals. We saw actually the pink dolphins.
Oh,
okay. So you saw them there. Oh, that,
yeah,
that
yeah,
makes
yeah.
sense.
You didn't get the number? No?
Oh, no.
trying to get the number.
Wrong, bro.
I know. They were playing hard.
Yeah. So they got like 1,000 species of birds there. And like the natural park literally has something to offer every nature lover. So definitely a place you have to go. Lake Titicaca. So it's got the shores of Copacabana. Lake Titicaca is not only one of Bolivia's most beautiful and treasured landmarks, but it's also the highest navigable lake in the world. So like travelers flock because it's like a resort town, you know, and they have like stunning views. Now, is that one of the ones that you have posted? Because I know you're in like a lake on one of them and you have like this rocky view in front of you. And I don't know if that's one of them.
No, because that one is a very small lake. Titicaca Lake, it's actually, when you look at it, it's actually as if you were looking at the ocean because you can't see the end of it.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
It's really big. All right, so like a fun fact with that is Copacabana itself is like quaint. It's like a small little town to explore, and it has like a lot of shops, restaurants, bars that like line the main street. So definitely a destination to go. Definitely a destination to go. So Tiwanaku, and it's got one of the world's most heritage sites, and that's been declared by UNESCO. Tiwanaku is a pre-Columbian archaeological site, and that's in western Bolivia. And it's named after what is believed to have been one of the most important civilizations prior to the Inca Empire. And one of the oldest and highest urban cities ever built, which is located 44 miles west of La Paz. So visiting Tiwanaku, or Tiwanakua, is that what it is?
Tiwanaku is right.
Tiwanaku, okay. Yeah.
Is a must for anyone who's like me, who's fascinated with like ancient history and civilization. And they got some amazing architecture. So that's definitely one on my bucket list. So we got La Paz. And that has like a striking background. And you see the snow-capped mountains. And it's like the third most populous city in the world. It seats the highest seat of government. And La Paz is full of modern cafes, clubs, bars, restaurants. So this is kind of like where everybody goes for like the most modernistics of everything, right? I'm assuming?
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
So if you're looking for all things that are brand new, this is probably the place to go. And they have quite a few activities that you can do. You got probably the clubs. You can turn around. The city itself has rich culture and like it's got a fascinating history. So get on there. All right. Yungas Road. One of the most popular activities in Bolivia is the exhilarating and death-defying bike ride along one of the world's dangerous roads. Please describe that for me.
Yeah, it was... It's a road that used to be, they used it for reaching Yungas, the Yungas part, or northern Yungas in La Paz. And it's this tiny, teeny road that barely fits a small car, but it's actually used both ways. So you have trucks going down and then trucks going up. And then it's like very unstable. So there's been like tons of accidents, car accidents. That's why you call it the death road.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, and then that was like the old road, so they closed it and they have a new one that's a little less terrifying to drive. And now you can do the old road, which is the death road, on a bike.
Oh,
I'll pass.
I'm gonna pass on that. Yeah. So we're gonna, for those of you guys who have adventures and good hearts, that is the place to go. So, you know, let's go to that one. All right. So then we have the Chiquitania region. And that differentiates itself from all the parts of the country. And it shines for like a tropical savanna climate, right? So is that more like, I'm going to say, because everything else is wet and you see all the brown. So is this more like a cleaner side of it for the natural history? Or is it almost the same? Because it's telling me it's different.
Yeah, I mean, it's different because it's not close to any big rivers. So you don't get all the chocolate, the café con leche rivers. But you get all the beautiful all the beautiful Jesuit missions and the churches. It's a really nice
So it's
ride.
Like really huge it's for like, architecture, right?
Yes. Yes, and like music festivals, but like typical musical festivals.
Yeah, they say they got like hot thermal springs there. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
Oh, definitely got to try one of those. All right, so let's see. Sucre. Bolivia's fifth largest and most beautiful city, Sucre is the ideal place for travelers to like recharge their batteries. So this is a place for good stop. It's got, you know, you got Spanish, you immerse in something like local culture. It was Spanish, founded by the Spanish back in like the 16th century. And Sucre has been designated as UNESCO's World Heritage Site to protect because it has many pristine and like historical significant buildings. So the good thing about it is that it's largely untouched by tourism, which is really good. And for the most part, it is like a very youthful city and a gold mine for like unexplored treasure and cultural activity. So from my understanding, it's one of the cheapest and safest cities in South America. And a lot of people go there because of
it.
So very awesome. And last on the list is Tarija wine region. And that's a small Bolivian town that produces some of South America's finest wines. And it's officially the highest wine producer in the world and also has a variety of culinary treats, including grilled bife de chorizo and local favorites, dulce de la cayote, which is caramelized squash. So have you visited there?
Yes, and it's one of my favorite places in Bolivia. I'm a wine lover, so...
Oh, you and Bree will get along.
And I'm like, I am happiest person in the world.
So you and Bria like, because she's a wine drinker. She's
love
a wine drinker.
Wine.
All right.
Yes, I do too.
So those are some good places to visit. Once again, I'll give you the disclaimer. Make sure that when you're going to visit these places that you've done your research and, you know, try to go to these places with a partner or with a group, especially if you don't know the landmarks. But I know that Sasha has been trying to promote people going to, you know, love and tour this beautiful country. Because, you know, and we haven't seen some of the most beautiful things that Bolivia has to offer because nobody really talks about them, especially here in the United States. You talk about vacation and you think of Cancun and you think of Mexico and all these things. But Bolivia, go visit Bolivia. All right. So just like every other country, Bolivia has its own words that, you know, kind of go with the social atmosphere. So we're going to go through with them and Sasha is going to help us. Are you ready? Let's see.
I'm ready.
So capo, what is capo?
Capo is like someone that's very good at something.
All right. So how would I say it? So it would be like, oh, it says here, Rafael es un capo.
Yeah, like you're very capo at podcasting.
There you go. See, she said it. I was trying to get, I didn't want to say it myself because it would have came off as conceited. So chacharse.
That's skipping class.
Ah, so somebody who skips class is
that... Ooh, you're in trouble.
That's uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. All right. Charlando.
That's slang for talking. Just like chit-chatting.
Okay.
Chimiando. So, just kidding.
Chimiando. That's Dominican for everything.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. Chela.
One of my favorites. That's beer.
Beer.
Mine's too. Woohoo.
Oh, pásame dos chelas. Por favor.
Pásame right, la chela.
So that's all you have to know when you come here.
When
that's
I go
the
there,
only sentence that you need to know.
That's good. All right. So, chaki or chakui.
Ooh, that's what happens when you drink too much chela.
Oh, la cruda.
That's funny. That's hilarious. Chupar, which is basically drinking. So you go to chupar la chela, and then what happens is you get chucky.
Exactly.
See,
you're good at it.
It all comes together.
That's hilarious. It all just fits right in. Cojudo.
Cojudo would be someone that drank too much chela and now has chucky. No, it's like...
So that's like
it's
an
like
idiot, right?
Someone an idiot.
It's so yeah. Oye, cojudo. You let's turn it all right. All right. Camote.
That's being in love.
Aww.
I love this one. This is my favorite one because camote is actually translated to sweet potato. So in Bolivia,
sweet potato
in Bolivia
too.
Instead of saying that you're in love, you say you're in sweet potato.
You're in sweet potato. Oh, that is hilarious.
Potato. I love that. Estoy camote con los pink dolphins. I said
there
that
exactly.
Oh, I'm going to butcher this.
But Brie don't like sweet potatoes.
Quencha. Is that right?
Yeah, you said it right.
There's an H there, which threw me off. So just quencha. And what does that
uh-huh.
mean?
That one means bad luck.
Bad luck, which you guys had on that tour coming back.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right. Pintudo.
That means that you have a cool outfit.
Oh,
she
okay.
Fly.
Oh, very
it's
nice.
It's that fly. Nice. It's that
looking
cute.
Fly. You know what I'm saying?
That all right. Cute.
Yema.
Yema is being drunk.
Oh,
like passed out drunk.
Ooh, I haven't been Yema in a long time. That's good.
Yeska.
Yeska is when you have no money or you're short on money.
Oh, like, man.
I'm way too Yeska, so you guys are going to have to buy the chela.
Oh. Ah, bueno. No bueno.
All right. So from my understanding, this is one of your favorites. So waso.
Waso is like so hard to explain because yeah, you can say that something is like someone is waso because they're being rude, but it's also like an exclamation word for something that's like, instead of saying wow, you know, like I can tell you I almost lost my flight back to Santa Cruz and you can say wow, que waso.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense. Okay. All right. So Hailong.
Hailon is someone, it's like a derogatory way of saying that someone has a lot of money.
Ah, okay. So
or like somebody
guy.
Thinks that they're high class, conceited, yeah.
Yeah, conceited, yeah. So Hailon, all right. So that's basically saying, okay, you're that guy.
Opa.
You're saying it like the Greek, but yeah.
All right, so what's the proper way of saying that?
No, it's right, but like once you say it like that, it sounded like a Greek thing.
Opa.
So what does opa mean?
Opa means dumb.
Dumb? Oh, okay, so yeah. Oh, there you go.
Opa, no bueno.
All right, so tigres opa. All right.
Oh hell no.
So trucho.
Trucho is something that's fake or imitation or not a good quality.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, so. Let's see. Parañar.
Pirañar. It comes from pirañas.
Pirañar. Pirañas, like in spiders?
Or no, is that like the piranha fish.
Yeah, the ones that bite your boot. Uh-huh.
So what does that mean?
Yeah, it's like when you like you want to go around and flirt. Or like if you're in a party and you do like this round, like when you walk around the party.
So you go it's parañer.
It's like you're hunting for your prey.
Oh my goodness! Like okay, so definitely a word that Tigre would use. All right.
Wow.
So let's see. You try me again. You keep trying me. Watch what's gonna happen.
Hey, you were the one who wanted to go for the pink dolphins. So
hell yeah! Pucha. I want the phone number. Just kidding.
What does pucha mean?
It's like oh man, kind of saying you know like
oh,
it's
man.
An expression. It's like oh man.
Ah.
Pucha like.
Pucha no llega la guagua. Yeah, we both thought the same thing, the bus. All right, so, man, that is so awesome, man. We learned a lot. So we got food, we got visiting, we got words, we got all kinds of history. Let me ask you, Sasha, if people wanted to go and follow you, where would they go visit you?
They can follow me on Instagram at Pilchas y Pintas.
All right, you have a website or anything like that?
Yeah, it's the same as www.pinchasipintas.com.
All right. Well, it was great having you on the show. That was like so informative. I'm glad that you kind of chimed in on a lot of the foods and things that we just did not get because it would have been interesting. We probably would have gave all this misinformation to all these people who are trying to eat. No, so
now I'm going to go find a restaurant to have a chola sandwich here in Miami.
And a banana.
Yes.
So all the way from Santa Cruz,
no,
Bolivia.
No, guys, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. You were hilarious. Look, I want to go swimming at that Cafe con Leche. Just kidding.
She's still going to be stuck on there. All right, guys. So don't forget to listen to us every Wednesday on Our Neighborhood Radio on radio89.com and on all podcast networks, Apple Podcasts, Google, and more. Follow us on social media at Latin Babbler Show, especially on Instagram. We are doing some great stuff here. And visit our website, www.latinbabbler.com, and our Facebook group by searching Latin Babbler Show. So don't forget to join us next time as we tour the next country, which is Peru. I am the Latin Babbler, and we are out.
Woo-hoo! Woo!